Amen. You may be seated. How thankful we are for the blood of Jesus, and we come together around the Lord's table. Remember that we are forgiven and we are loved because of what he did for us on the cross. Because he died for us on the cross, we are a family. We're a family of brothers and sisters in Christ. So we take an offering, a fellowship fund offering, to care for one another, those of us who are in need. During the last couple of years, with the pandemic and everything that's gone on, a lot of things have happened in our family. There are some people who have not been able to be with us. All of us had to stay away for a little while, and then even now, some of our members, because of pre-existing conditions, find themselves still worshiping with us virtually online, and those of you who are online, you. But as a family, we want to understand, after all of the turmoil of these last couple years, who we are as a family, who's part of our family. We've never experienced something quite like this before. So many of you received an email this week about something we're calling family check-in. And I would like to encourage you in the next 6 weeks, hopefully those of us who are here in the room today, to do this today. Simply check in, and just like you go to your family doctor once a year, you check in just to see how you're doing. That's all we want to do. Check in. Let us know how you're doing, how we can pray for you, and that you're a part of us after all that's happened. So as you came in, I'm sure you noticed a table out in the foyer that says family check-in. There's a QR code. There's a QR code that you'll see on the screen up here as well. A QR code is just something you can scan with your phone. And I hope that you will do that. It's on your bulletin as well. So I would actually like to pause for a moment. If you would take out a smartphone. Now, I usually don't like phones being out in church. I know, this is really different. But if you have your phone with you, if you take it out and just point your camera at that little QR code, it will pick it up and it will pop up a little question, a little button that you can push, and it'll bring up a super simple form. I did it this week. It took me 30 seconds to fill it out. What we're asking is one person from each household, one person from each family to do this, just to let us know you're here. It'll ask how many people are in your family, your address and contact, so we can make sure we've got all of that up to date. And then just a couple questions. I'm a member of the church and fellowshipping in person, or I'm fellowshipping online, or I'm not a member, but I'm here in person. And then a spot to ask if you would like to fill in a prayer request, a way that we can pray for you. So I'm going to pause for a moment. I don't see the QR code coming up on the screen. It's supposed to be available on the screen today. I don't see it popping up there. They're telling me somehow it didn't get into our computer. If you have a bulletin, it's on the bulletin. If you say, Pastor, I don't use a smartphone. I have no idea what a QR code is. There's a table in the foyer that you can stop by and we'll help you. You don't need to have a smartphone. We can help you there. Just stop by and say, hey, help me do this because this is not my deal. But I'm going to pause for a moment. And if you've got your smartphone, if you've got a bulletin, just scan that code. Fill it out real quickly. It will take you maximum 60 seconds to fill out, and it'll just let us know who we are as a family after all we've been through, okay? Thank you. appreciate your helping us with that. Go ahead and keep doing it if you're doing it right now. Again, if you don't have your phone with you, which I totally understand, I don't bring mine into the worship center on purpose. I don't want it buzzing in my pocket. You can stop by the foyer table. Somebody can help you. We're going to be doing this for 6 weeks. We realize that not everyone is here every single Sunday, so anytime you can do it at home. You can go on our website. The QR code will be there. You can do it next week when you come in. We're going to be doing it for 6 weeks. We just want to know who our family is, how we can love one another, support one another, encourage one another. One of the other things we've been doing as a family, as a house of prayer, is using these little prayer tags. About 6 weeks ago when you came into the worship center, if you were here on that Sunday, you got a blank card, and we filled those out with some prayer requests, and so I've got one here with a prayer request on it. Many of you, I hope, picked one up as you came in. If you did not grab one of these coming in, if you weren't handed one, can you just raise your hand? One of the ushers will come and give you one right now, because we're going to pray for them. So just hold your hand up and keep it up until the ushers come, and they will gladly hand you one. We have been praying through these prayer tags in the prayer room. Many groups gather in that prayer room, and they've been hanging on a wall in there, and we've been praying through them regularly. Our ministry team, our pastors, our elders have prayed through these tags. So if you filled one of these tags out, it has been prayed for multiple times in the last weeks. But we want to spend a moment praying right now. So as I would ask us just to pause, take the card that you have in your hand and pray. If for some reason, even after the ushers have come by and they missed you, just pray for the person next to you. But let's spend a moment praying for this person. And then I'd encourage you, just stick it in your Bible, take it home. Maybe during this week, you'll pray for that card, the person who's had the request once or twice during the week, and we'll just keep praying for each other. A few weeks from now, as you come in, we'll have another blank card you can fill out. There's one here, there's one more way up here in the front, Tony. Way up there in the front. Okay, let's spend a moment in prayer, just praying silently for this prayer request, and then I will close our time in prayer together. Father in heaven, you've called us into your presence, given us access to the throne because of the blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross. Jesus, you now are interceding for us before the Father, and Holy Spirit, you help us to pray even as we don't know how to pray as we should. But we come before you, our God, this morning on behalf of one another. Brothers and sisters who have asked us to pray for specific requests, we ask that you would hear our prayers. Help us to increasingly become a house of prayer. We think of our brothers and sisters scattered around the world, some in very, very hard places, and we pray for them as well. Ask that you'd be merciful to them, that you'd be gracious to them. For those of your children who are in Ukraine, Father, would you be merciful and would you use them as powerful lights even as you protect them? We pray for our government. Ask, Lord, that you would give those who are in authority over us great wisdom and humility before you, recognizing that you reign over all the earth and they are simply instruments to lead in certain parts of this world. We pray that you give them wisdom to make wise decisions. Father, we pray for this body of believers, for our fellowship, and ask that you would continue to do a work among us that would be so clearly your work that only you could receive the glory. As we open your word now, we pray that you would speak to us. Open our hearts to hear what your spirit would have us to hear. Help us to hear your voice, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue to pray, let me just mention Thursday night, we're having a special time. Thursday is a national day of prayer. So Thursday night, if you'd like to join us, we're going to meet for 1 hour, 6 to 7, down in the chapel, down at that end. And we're just going to pray for our country for an hour. If you want to come a little early at 5:30, we're going to have a nacho across from the chapel down there. So come at 5:30, grab some nachos, then come in and pray with us from 6 to 7. We'd love to have you join us. That's Thursday night. It's a national day of prayer, and we just want to participate by praying for our country at that time. I wonder if, those of you who are parents, if you ever found yourself saying to your children, "Are you listening to me?" None of us have ever said that, right? Sometimes, if you were married, maybe your spouse has said to you, "Are you listening to me?" I wonder if God ever asks us that question. Are you listening to me? We're in Hebrews chapter 2, and he begins by asking us if we're listening. Now, we've actually made it to chapter 2, and we're going to go through 4 verses this week, so we're moving a little quicker. This is how Hebrews chapter 2 begins. "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord. It was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." What does he say at the beginning of verse 1? We must pay much closer attention. He says, do not neglect, verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect? But pay attention to what? It seems like it just comes out of the blue. Pay attention to who? Well, verse 1 of chapter 2 begins with that word, therefore. And we know that whenever you see therefore, we have to ask what it's there for. So what is therefore referring to? Well, usually when we see that word therefore, it's referring to what is immediately preceding. So look at what we studied last week, verses 13 and 14. "To which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'?" So Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. His enemies are a footstool for his feet. And verse 14, angels are simply ministering spirits. Be very careful that you pay attention to what you've heard. To what? To Jesus. It's not so much what we've heard, it's who we've heard. In fact, many times the therefore in Scripture goes back farther than just the previous verse or two. It'll go back to the whole section in front. And if we look at that section we've just finished, chapter 1, look at how chapter 1 begins. Verse 1, "Long ago, at many times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son." Chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard." Why? God is speaking to us through his Son. Not through an intermediary, not through angels. He's speaking to us through his Son, who is the supreme Son of God, the supreme revelation of God, as we've seen all the way through chapter 1, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. His enemies are a footstool under his feet. The one we are to listen to is most important. Not what, but the one that we are to listen to. And we must listen to Jesus more carefully than ever before. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention. What is the Holy Spirit saying? You've been listening to Jesus, but listen much more closely than you ever have. That applies to every single one of us. If we've been a believer for 1 week, or we've been a believer for 60 years, listen to Jesus more closely than you ever have, because in the past God spoke to us through prophets. In these last days he's spoken to us through his Son, who is the supreme Son of God, the supreme revelation of God, who is seated at the throne of God with all of his enemies under his feet. There is no gospel, there is no good news apart from Jesus. So listen more carefully than you ever had before to Jesus. Now, most of us who are probably sitting in this room today would say, of course, I listen to Jesus. I listen to Jesus a lot. I listen to Jesus all the time. But you know, we've all been there when someone is talking to us and we're not really listening, right? Our mind has already gone somewhere else. We might even be looking at them, but we're not really listening. Jesus' words are so critical that it is in his words that we have salvation. That's why if we don't listen to Jesus, we neglect so great a salvation. You see, salvation is not just a bunch of doctrine. It's not just knowing the right formulas. It's not just knowing that Jesus died for our sins because we're sinners and he rose from the grave and he gives us new life. It's far more than that. It's Jesus. Jesus is life. And if we're going to be saved, we're going to be saved to life. And so we have to listen to Jesus. The Father told us to listen to Jesus. I love the story of the transfiguration of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17. Jesus climbs up on this mountain. He takes Peter, James, and John with him. They go up on the mountain, and all of a sudden, Jesus is transfigured. Remember? His clothes begin to shine. His face is bright. And with Jesus suddenly is Moses and Elijah, and they're talking with Jesus. And Peter, as he often did, opens his mouth when he shouldn't. And he says, oh, this is wonderful. Let's build 3 booths, you know, like the tabernacles that they would build during the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's stay here. Let's worship. Let's enjoy. And a cloud comes down from heaven, covers them all. And out of the cloud, here comes a voice speaking specifically to Peter. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And the cloud goes up, and all that is left in front of them is Jesus. Listen to him. Peter, stop talking and stop getting all excited about Moses and Elijah. Listen to him. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard through the final, complete, absolute, perfect revelation of God through Jesus in these last days. Closer attention than we've ever paid in the past. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that he's the good shepherd and my sheep hear my voice. But he said they don't hear the voice of other shepherds. They don't know those voices. They pay attention to my voice. Is it Jesus' voice that rings in your ears, that fills your heart? Because as we're told in Psalm 23, when we listen to Jesus leading us, he takes us into green pastures. He gives us rest by the quiet, still waters. He nourishes our soul. He protects us even when the world is in chaos around us. And he feeds us at a table, no matter how many enemies are around us. And he leads us until finally we go home. Listen more carefully than you ever have. Now, maybe you're sitting here as I was thinking about this during the last few weeks, thinking, of course I'm listening to Jesus. But would you pause for a moment and ask yourself this question: do I listen to Jesus more than I listen to the pundits, more than I listen to podcasts? Do I spend more time listening to Jesus than I spend looking at social media, be it Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever? Do I spend more time listening to Jesus than I listen to the news? Because what the Holy Spirit is saying is, listen to Jesus more carefully than you ever have before. So wherever you are, wherever I am, we need to do better. Salvation is on the line. God has finally, completely spoken to us through Jesus. We're told in verse 3 that this has been attested, declared first of all, attested to us by Jesus himself, then by those who have heard him. Who are those who heard him? Well, those first witnesses. Matthew has told us about Jesus. So when's the last time you read Matthew's gospel? Mark. When's the last time you read Mark's gospel? John. When's the last time you listened to what John said about Jesus? I love how John begins his first letter. Let me just read a few sentences. Which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, we have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that's Jesus. That which we have seen and heard, we now proclaim to you. You see, the writer to the Hebrews, through the Holy Spirit, says, Jesus' words were attested because they came from him. Then they were attested by those who heard him, those first witnesses. They were attested by the Father, verse 4. God bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles. God did all kinds of signs. You read through the Gospels, and this was a sign, and this was a sign. Signs point to something, right? They point to who Jesus is. They're always pointing to Jesus. He didn't do miracles just to wow people. He did miracles to help them see that he is, in fact, the final revelation, the final word of God. Signs point to Jesus. The wonders and the miracles were always to point to the fact that everything Jesus said is true, because everything he does has the power of God behind it. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, just look at what I'm doing. Just look at what I'm doing. And then it's attested even by the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives as he continues to give gifts in the body of believers. Even today, God is transforming lives and giving us gifts to minister to each other. All of that is to attest to the fact that Jesus is, in fact, the very Word of God. Long times, in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. Because we're told that to neglect it, to neglect the words of Jesus, leads to drift and danger. The end of verse 1, lest we drift away from it. And then verse 2, if the message that was declared by angels, that's the Old Testament message, was proven to be reliable, and when people disobeyed it, retribution was given, how much more when Jesus has spoken to us himself, when we don't listen, how much more will we pay for it? The Bible over and over again says that the angels were used as intermediaries to speak to the prophets in the Old Testament. Galatians tells us that in Galatians 3:19. It was put in place, the word of the Old Testament was put in place through angels as an intermediary. But what was the cost if people didn't listen to what God had told them through an angel? Let me just read you a couple phrases from Deuteronomy chapter 30, beginning with verse 15. I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. So listening to the message that came through an angel produced life and good. Not listening, death and evil. And then he goes on to say, if you obey what I've told you to do, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you when you go into your house, and when you come out of your house, I'm going to bless your fields. If you do not listen, I will curse you. I will curse you when you go out to your fields, and I will curse you when you sit in your house. That was a response to a message given through an intermediary. If God is now spoken through Jesus, and we aren't listening, brothers and sisters, how shall we escape if we neglect this great of a salvation? Are we listening to Jesus? He says, if we don't listen, we will drift away from it. Verse 1. There's a danger of drifting. And it's a danger of drifting when we aren't listening to the voice of Jesus. That picture of drifting is actually a word that was often used of a ring slipping off of a finger. Now, for many of us, our wedding rings, the older we get, the harder it is to get them off our fingers, right? I remember rafting the Nile River many years ago with a young couple from Poland. They had come as tourists to Africa. They were in the same raft as me, and the Nile River is massive. The rapids are huge, and you will for sure get dumped many times, as we did. And this young couple from Poland, when we got dumped, they were desperate, and they were flailing in the water, and so we were reaching down. Those of us who got in back into the raft quickly were reaching down, grabbing the tops of their life jackets and pulling them back into the raft. We got them back into the raft, and I remember this girl, she was probably 28, just all of a sudden screaming. I looked at her and said, what's wrong? She says, my wedding ring is gone. The turbulence of the water had washed it away. And what terrified her was, she then said, when I got married, Pope John Paul II personally blessed my wedding ring, and now it's in the bottom of the Nile River. Turbulence of the water took her ring off. Turbulence of our lives often causes us to stop listening to Jesus, doesn't it? We get so caught up. What's happening in Ukraine? What's happening in the pandemic? What's happening on the news? And all of a sudden, we're not listening to Jesus. We need to pay much closer attention to what we have heard, because God is no longer speaking through angels. And he's no longer speaking through prophets. He has spoken to us by his Son. Brothers and sisters, do you listen to Jesus? What's the first voice you listen to in the morning? Now, maybe you're not a morning person. For me, the first thing I want to do is get up and open my Bible and just sit and let God's word percolate into my soul. Maybe you're not a morning person. But I would encourage you, if you're not, maybe just read a psalm when you get up. Let the words of Jesus penetrate. If you're not used to reading your Bible, I would encourage you to try to read one psalm and maybe one chapter from the Gospels. It will take you maximum 10 minutes. And then pause for 5 minutes and listen to Jesus. Sometimes we just read and run, but that's not listening. That's like looking at someone when they're talking and then they say, are you listening to me? We've got to read and then pause. Ask the Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Because the Holy Spirit is Jesus' Spirit. What are you saying to me? What do you want me to hear from this? Maybe you've got a quiet time practice and you spend an hour with the Lord every day. Can you hone that? Maybe listen more than you speak? We need to pay closer attention to the voice of Jesus than we ever have before. I just want to turn quickly to Psalm 81, because this psalm tells us the beauty of listening to the voice of Jesus. Psalm 81 in the Bibles in the Seats is page 492. Maybe just write it down. You can look at it at home. Beginning with verse 8. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you. O Israel, if you would but listen to me. God is saying, just listen to me. Are you listening? Verse 9, there shall be no strange god among you. You shall not bow down to a foreign god. What are the strange gods among us? Probably not idols. But for some of us, it's politics. For some of us, maybe it's nationalism. For some of us, it's self-centeredness, self-ego, self-esteem. It's all about what people think of me and who I am. I don't know what the gods are, but we need to be listening to him. Verse 10, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. God wants to fill us with good things, everything we're looking for. Verse 11, but my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So this is terrifying. Verse 12, over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsels. That is desperate. When God gives us over to our stubborn hearts, what are our hearts like? You remember what the Bible tells us, Jeremiah? Our hearts are desperately wicked. God gives us over to desperately wicked hearts. Our hearts are idol factories. And God says, if you won't listen to me, I'll let you listen to your own heart. And that's not a good place to be. We're told in Romans chapter 1 that when God turns us over to our own minds and our own hearts, we claim to be wise and we actually become fools. We worship and serve the creature instead of the creator. We begin to worship ourselves. We begin to think that we are the most important. No, we aren't the most important thing. We follow dishonorable passions, and then finally God says, I'll just give you up to your debased mind to do what you ought not to do, not only to do it, but to encourage others to do it. And boy, has our country ever gone there. Because God says in Psalm 81, you won't listen. Just listen. If we listen, verse 13, oh, that my people would listen to my ways, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue all of their enemies. I would turn my hand against their foes. This God will take care of you if you'll listen to him. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him. Their fate would last forever. But the ones who listen, I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey from the rock I would satisfy you. If we want the best from God, what do we need to do? Just listen. What does the writer to the Hebrews say? Because God is now spoken through his Son, we must pay much closer attention. Listening leads to satisfaction, and it leads to salvation. But when we neglect, how shall we escape such a great salvation? Let me just end with three words from Jesus. Listen to these words. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, he said, Matthew 11. So come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Are you tired? Are you carrying heavy burdens? Come to Jesus. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Jesus said to Nicodemus, just like Moses put a bronze serpent on a pole when all of the serpents were biting people and they were dying, look to that serpent and you'll be healed. Jesus said, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life. Are you looking to Jesus? That's where salvation is, only in Jesus, not in any church, not in any doctrine, not in what you do, just in Jesus. If you've been a follower of Jesus for long, listen to Jesus, to his disciples the night before he went to the cross. Anyone who loves me will keep my words, and my Father will love him. We will come to him. We'll make our home with him. But whoever doesn't love me doesn't keep my words, doesn't listen. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard. Can I encourage you, wherever you are, in your ability to listen to Jesus, will you ask the Lord this week, help me to do more? Because no matter who we are, we must pay closer attention than we did last week. Would you stand with me as we close? So thankful for the Word of God that is so rich and full and nourishes our souls as nothing else can. The one we listen to is the most important. So now, may the Lord bless you and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto all of you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace as you listen to His voice this week. God bless you as you go to listen to Jesus.